Well, this morning we're going to go back into our teaching, the series we were talking, I began dealing with. There's three parts of faith, and we're going to go in really today. We're going to talk really about the first part, because one of the things we spent the time is identifying the human spirit. Because when we talk about faith, if we don't know where faith starts and we aren't in contact with that, it's not going to do a whole lot of good for us as believers to try to walk by faith. And one of the things I want to say going in, and it is Father's Day, and I said I would talk about it. I wrote here because sometimes we have, and all these things they say about being a father. One thing is God taught me concerning being a father, and there's a lot of things that they put out here. There's one thing is, it's more than just being a nice person and a good person. It's much more than that God planned. And because when God created man, God made man in His image and in His likeness. God is not just a natural being. And we've taken really too much, I think, of Christianity is the idea, you know, we're just going to be good people, nice people. I can say this for sure. I mean, I've run into people who religion and different religions and stuff and watched them live more moral lives than Christians do. So it's not that. That doesn't what separate us. Now, it's one thing that I found this out as the Lord began to teach me. He had me stay in line with Kenneth Hagin's ministry. At that time, I was really listening to a lot of things he was teaching on the subject of faith and being led by the Spirit. Understand there's no such thing as being led by the Spirit of God, not understanding faith, because it definitely requires faith to learn how to develop yourself so you can hear your Spirit. It requires faith to do that. And I haven't heard, like with fathers, is one of the things that I learned from this, and I just wrote it down. I said, faith is more than talk. It's the way we live our life. We are to live our lives by faith in God. In doing so, people around us can see God manifest Himself in and through our lives. See, this is where we need to understand. This is important. Faith is of zero value without manifestation. Faith has risen much more. I'm sorry to see this, but I see, like, when I grew up, when they talk about faith, there was a lot of talk. There was when I was in faith. Then I watched and I came in and I got born again and came in the kingdom of God. And the faith people were talking about, boy, faith and doing things. But a lot of the faith people today are nothing but talk anymore. It's back to just talk. It's all talk about faith. It's talk. Faith causes things to happen. Amen. Faith is grabbing into the realm of the Spirit and bringing things from the realm of the Spirit, the place of the unseen, the place doesn't have, like we would say, well, you know, it's touchable, it's tangible, we can feel it, but it can turn things in and make touchable things in this realm. And we need to understand that what it does. And I have here, I said, we as fathers, grandfathers, and even men who want to become fathers need to know the importance of allowing our offspring and the younger generation see God's working through our lives and not just hear talk about Him. Amen. They need to see. Today it's just talk, you know, be nice, be good. We're just going to be real cordial to people. We're going to love everybody around us. And I don't even know what that means anymore. We're loving people around us. But you know what? You never loved anybody till you tell them the truth. Amen. You never loved them. You know, we have today, well, we got to be nice to all these groups. We won't tell them. I was just reading a thing this morning, you know, as a group that is doing a thing, a show, and it's about a Christian show that they have and all this kind of stuff. And they were talking about their, you know, the homosexuality thing and how they view it and all that stuff. And, you know, we're walking in love with people. And I thought, did you ever tell that person that you're walking in love with what their spiritual condition is? And if you didn't, you're a fraud.
Amen.
You're a fraud. See, we have this love today. I love people, but you still got to tell them the truth.
Amen.
We speak the truth in love. It doesn't say we speak love. Mm-hmm. This is what the church and even the spiritual church has turned it into. No, we speak the truth. Sometimes, you know, there's one thing. Make sure your motivation, right? Make sure you ain't telling the truth to shoot them. Tell them the truth because you love them. You want them to know what it is. And we've lost that, and we need to come back through that. And this is about the life of faith. You cannot live a life of faith like that, because faith takes a great boldness to say and do things that are outside the ordinary.
Amen.
And it makes, you know, faith makes people uncomfortable.
Amen.
People get offended by faith. I found faith people got offended at me over faith. And they didn't care that my faith worked. They were offended because theirs wasn't. and then step and saying, hey, I can learn something. No, they just got offended. You know, no, we just got to do this stuff the other way. We need to understand this life of faith. Was Jesus real? Was he a man of faith? He was popular with everybody, wasn't he? That just worked out. It just was not. No, it wasn't. Because why? Faith is running contrary. Faith in God is running contrary to the normal course of nature, things going on. It's running contrary to it. And when you go in that, see, today we want all this, everybody getting together, you know, kumbaya, and we're going to, you know, have this great time. And it's moved, we want to move toward that, but it's not a faith life. Amen. And I've down here said, a father is a leader in a family. He is responsible for the spiritual leadership. A Christian father will bring stability to family by the confidence in God's care and love for his family. So you got to walk by faith. We walk in this faith that people, they need to know. If you're not confident about, if a leader's not confident about God, it spreads out through everything. And whether it's in the home. See, God taught me, you can't be a leader. You know, the Bible doesn't teach who prays enough and who not they qualify for leadership. It qualified how their home is. What's the house like? You know, there's one thing that I settled this fact. I was called to the ministry and I watched too many ministers' kids all messed up. Too many of them. And I'd made this decision. I'm going to live a life, you know, if you can't make your family work, if you can't get your family to follow God, you can't beat people with a whip to get them to go. It's one thing is my wife and I, we learned, our kids, we demonstrated God in front of them. They saw the supernatural. They saw that God was real, that he did things, and they followed after it. You can sit and try to teach them all the moral stuff you want. That sounds good. We have this idea if we just teach the law to work. Well, it didn't. Israel had the law. Did it really work? I mean, did you ever read the Old Testament? No. The life's in Christ Jesus. And so, but we teach, and I found out, well, you teach them the truth. And I says, when children are secure in God's care and love for them and can see God working through the heads of their family, they will not be easily sidetracked by others who offer another way of life. And they won't. They won't be sidetracked. See, we need to offer something much better, and it can't be talk. It can't be talk. It's not enough. Confession is good, but it ain't near enough. We have to have more than that. We want demonstration, manifestations of the Spirit of God. That's what we want. That should be our desire. Faith is about that. Faith does things. And this one we look today, we identified in our teaching up to this time, dealing with the area of the heart. And this is one thing, and I really encourage, because we have failed in the area in America. Our idea of leadership is all thrown out. You know, people don't follow leaders. We think because, you know, I'm tired of hearing the freedom thing. I'm fed up with hearing the freedom junk. I don't have the freedom to do anything I want.
Amen.
I don't have that as a Christian. I'll guarantee you this. Our forefathers never thought about freedom like people think of it today. Never in a million years. I'm tired of hearing the conservatives talk about it. They think freedom means to make as much money as you want, means whatever it is it takes to. I'm fed up with it. I'm tired of it. Well, this nation, we need free enterprise. Why? So why most of the companies that are already stealing from people can steal more? Is that what we're doing? Do you ever read any of this stuff, this investment stuff that's going on out here and companies are doing, how they're ripping Americans off and stuff and think, I mean, it's phenomenal, the stuff that's going on. We wonder why our country's in it, you know, because, you know, people are here, this idea, you know, our country's great because of money. No. Well, get a life on that one. Slowly it's siphoned away and people are finally, hey, you know, well, follow the money. And, you know, the money's going down the toilet and so is the nation. The nation's following the money, isn't it? But we need to get over, we need to come to the place where we're going to walk by faith, because the life of faith, the life of faith is a place of confidence. And you have to have that, especially in this day and time. We have so many people going through so many problems, Christians not being able to handle things. There's no confidence. And this is what the kingdom of God brings. This is what the word of God brings to us. We're going to look at the one thing is today is starting off really in the first area of dealing with faith. And that is, first of all, you believe God's word in your heart. That's the first thing you have to do. It arrives at that place, and we need to get that in our minds. Many people are always looking at the end result. If you don't have the beginning and the things in line, you will not get there. Many people are trying to make. Most Christians today in the faith world start with confession. That's where they start. They make a confession and they think that's faith. Well, I'm saying what the Bible says. Well, that's nice. It's good to say what the Bible says, but that don't make it faith. Am I talking from my heart? Where am I talking from? I can know all the scriptures. I can quote. I've seen people, they can just quote things and quote things and quote things. I'm not necessarily got the anointing comes on me, and sometimes I get over and I just quote scriptures and I can just anointing comes on me. I can do stuff, but you learn how to operate out of your spirit. You can operate out of your head and do all kinds of things in mental gymnastics, but it might not produce anything spiritually. And we need to know that. It's not just, faith is not about having a good memory on the Word of God. It's about what's inside of you. You're going to operate in one way or the other. You're going to operate out of your spirit, or you're going to operate out of your mentality, dealing with your feelings and whatever else. Those are the areas you'll operate from. But we need to know and identify. That's what I said. We got this inner man, the real man that's on the inside. We need to know this guy on the inside, who we really are. This is the place where faith originates. That's where it originates at. It doesn't originate. People think, originates in thought. No, we need faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. But those words got to get into your inner man. Amen. Your inner man must believe them. Now, really familiar scripture. We're going to go to Romans, the 10th chapter. I want to read here. And this is dealing with getting born again, but I want you to understand, this principle here to getting born again is identical to the principles of how faith works and whatever it is you're believing God for. Here's dealing with a person's salvation being saved. But we want to look at this, and I always really think it's funny because I always think about this as the fact is, poor Paul didn't know how you get saved. He thought you'd try to get your sins forgiven. He thought today he didn't know that that isn't what you do. He thought it was something else. You see, Paul wrote, if people, I don't know why they don't ever read Corinthians, and Paul went and turned around and said to the church there that we're supposed to tell the people in this world that God's not against it. He's not their enemy. Hallelujah. We're supposed to tell them, that he's not holding their sin against him, it says. Well, I thought he was. That's what we preach, God's holding his sin. No, God's holding sin against no man out here. Jesus took care of the sin situation for the sinner. When I came to Christ, my sin was already... Did Jesus die for Ed's sin? He hadn't. He didn't die for Ed's sin. Ed was on his way to hell, No, I was on the way to my hell. My sins were forgiven. I've said this for years. I wonder what it must be like when a person ends up in hell and finds out their sin was already forgiven. When they've been told by the church all their life, the reason you're going to go to hell, your sin's not forgiven. No, you didn't receive the forgiveness. And how do you receive forgiveness? You receive Christ. That's how you get it. My God, it's so easy. We had to complicate it. Got to be harder than this. we got to do something. But see, we tell them, God's not against you. He's already for you. We tell people, we're supposed to tell people. Well, here he says, in verse 16, we're going to pick up on this, and it says that but what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and what? In your heart. The word, see the tie between the words in the heart and mouth. When we talk, people marvel the fact that Jesus said he didn't say anything the Father didn't say. In other words, Jesus is a simple thing. He talked from his heart. He did not just walk around mentally talking. He wasn't talking his feelings all the time. He wasn't talking about whatever his emotions were at the time. He wasn't doing that. He was making words from his heart. Well, see, we know he had to be able to do, he had to do that. He went in the temple. Now we look at, he went in the temple, he made a whip and went in and drove people out. But if he never said anything the Father didn't say, he didn't say anything that didn't come from his heart that he spoke. He wasn't being mean to those people. He wasn't being evil to them. They were doing evil. He drove them out of there. Why? Because they were stopping the move of God. Because the Bible tells us that people came to him and were healed. See, healing wasn't going on in the place where God was. He wasn't being mean. He was chasing those people out so God could move in the place. No, we know what they do in the churches today? We make ministries to the people who ain't nothing but a pain to keep the pain in the church so God can't move. Woo, good preaching head. There are people who stop the move of God in churches. And they will stop the move of God. People don't care about that. Don't know everybody. We're just trying to love everybody. Well, if you really love everybody, there's certain people you better get set aside so your love can get over and help them ones that need help. We don't help the ones that need help. We keep trying to pacify the pains. That's not what we do. Amen. That's not the church. You know, Paul said there's certain people, they do certain things. You don't even eat with them. No, I'm going to tell you, we make special dinners for them. Why? And the people who need delivered never get delivered. They never get set free. Because we know little about how love and how faith works. It's out of your heart. He said, what? The word of faith which we preach. We preach the word of faith. You never have people make fun of you because you're word of faith people. You know, do you ever have somebody? Oh, you're one of those faith people. You're right, I'm one of them faith people. I'm a Christian. If you ain't, you ain't a Christian. Amen. Amen. I mean, it's just what it is. Hallelujah. But it's a word of faith which we preach. That, now listen to what he says. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and what? Believe in your heart. Now, there's something you have to believe in your heart. Confession without heart faith is of no purpose. It doesn't produce. It doesn't produce. Now, let me say this. I've talked about this before, dealing with the area of confession. Many Christians get messed up in this, and I want you need to learn this and get a hold of it. Don't run around just confessing something and say it's making a confession of faith when it's not. You will deceive yourself. If you're not believing it in your heart, making statements of it out of your mouth does not change anything. What you want to change, now, we taught, remember, on our teaching dealing with the area of meditation, you may confess what the Word says and over to yourself to get yourself into faith. But don't say that you're making a statement of faith. You don't need to make a statement of faith 400 times to get it to work. Now, I heard this years ago, and I felt so bad about it because I had a friend who got caught up in this, listening to this teaching. This was one of the biggest faith teachers in America. I heard him say this years ago. I heard him say this, and when he said it, I thought, oh, man, I wish a rock would come out of heaven and hit him on the head. This guy, he made this statement. He's talking about faith. He said, after he had believed in something, after I had confessed it, and he literally gave a number like 442 times or something. He said, I made a confession. He said, then it came to pass. And he said that. He's a big name guy, and he had millions of followers. He got, you know, it's people follow. Listen, and I thought, oh my God, what's he talking about? That after you do it, well, see, people got hooked on it. Now, over the years, I watch as people, they're confessing it all the time, thinking one day I'm going to hit the jackpot. You know, if we keep putting the nickel in and pulling, or put the quarter in and pulling, eventually, you're going to one day the jackpot, and that's what they do. This friend of mine ended up dying from this. I could never get him past that point. Could never get him past that point. He had a medical problem, and he ended up dying from it. I couldn't get him past that point. He just could, you know. Let me just say this. A statement made from your heart that you believe and do not doubt, and you say it, it's coming to pass. You don't have to make a second trip at it. It'll come to pass. When Jesus spoke to the tree, did he stand there? Die, 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 die. You know, come back 2 days later. Die, 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 die. You know, when he rebuked the wind, what did he do? After confessing it 437 times, it finally stopped. No. See, we need to know the power of faith. We don't understand the power of faith. We don't realize it. When an individual, the Bible teaches, once you got something and it's in your spirit, you don't doubt it. And you say, Jesus said concerning to speak into a mountain. He didn't say, if you just keep saying it, and you just keep saying it. No, I'm sad to say, many of the faith teachers can't differentiate between making a faith statement and trying to get to believe something. They don't differentiate between it. They don't even know it. See, we need to understand these things. Many times I'll say things over and over to myself, over and over to myself. I'm not making a statement of faith. I'm building myself on the inside till I'm ready to pull the trigger. Then I'm ready to pull the trigger. That's when I'm, okay, I'm ready to make a move. You know, you need to do that. See, I found in my life, you know, this works. Many times we're trying to do things and we're not preparing ourselves in our hearts to do it. We never spend any time. We're trying to get over this thing. We got to get this inner man in the place that we want him. We got to get him the place where he's like, okay, let's say it. That's where we want to arrive at. That's where you want to arrive. See, it's salvation. That's why I've watched over the years, people make confessions of faith for Christ and that stuff. Never change their life. Well, I know they never got nothing. No, just they said words. Their heart wasn't in it. You know, most people that get saved have heard the gospel numbers of times. They heard it and heard it. Things finally got into them and got into them and got into them. The average person is never a once they heard it and bang, we got it. Now, this is what the people try to do, and they claim it happens. You know, like, I got it, you know, first time, you know, I pulled my gun out and shot the gospel at him, and that did it. You know, I'm the man. No, somebody else has probably been sowing, sowing, and you came along and put some more water on it, and that thing came up. But that's most of the time is the way it goes. And so, you know, like Paul realized it. He said, you know, I planted, Paulus watered, God gave the increase. So things go along, and this is the way they work and the way they go, and understand that about your faith. See, you're putting seeds in your heart, and you just got to keep watering that thing, and you got to keep watering, get that seed, and because you want to come up to the place where you're ready to make a statement of something of faith. This is an important part. Now, we have here, from a standpoint of Scripture, and it goes on and says, it said to us, this person who makes this confession, they got to believe in their hearts. He said that God has raised Jesus from the dead. He said, you will be saved. There was something you needed to believe. There's something you needed to believe to make this thing work. Jesus don't save you because you ask him to forgive you a sin. I think it's horrible to think people end up in hell because Christians just told them, well, yes, Jesus, forgive your sin, you're saved. I had to deal with that one time. I was just a young Christian, but I was working at Teen Challenge was running a thing, and they'd have these a week-longs of services, and they would have, during the day, you know, people would come in and camp out and that stuff and everything, and they had a big stage here, and they had all these speakers and musicians and all that stuff and things. And so I was working in a tent where we would do counseling with people, and so people come in, they had problems with things. You talk to people in that stuff, because a lot of people coming in this, some of these people are coming or aren't saved. Well, anyhow, there's a guy comes in the tent. I'm sitting there, and he's like about 32, 33 years old. I'm sitting there. He's like 45 years old. He comes walking in, and he says this. I ask him, you know, how I could help him. He said, I was just out there, and he had this group up there playing and music and stuff. And they asked, they said, just pray this prayer, you can be saved. And the prayer was, you know, ask Jesus to forgive your sin and ask him to come into your heart. And he came to the end there, and he said, I did that, but he said, if anything happens, I don't know it. Well, see, number one, isn't that interesting? I mean, they didn't say what the Bible says about getting saved. And that's what most evangelists don't. They don't. Go on the radio and stuff and listen to TV. Listen what they have sometimes of prayers. They're praying. Ain't got to think of what the Bible says. It's men's ideas. Well, he said this. So I said, well, come here. I said, let's sit down and let's look at the Bible. So we went through scriptures, and I sat down and went through scriptures with him. And I said, now, we're going to pray a prayer according to scripture. So we went, prayed a prayer according to scripture, and I looked at him, and here's a guy. He was a Methodist. So he wasn't, this is a spirit-filled thing going on out here they're doing. Spirit-filled people, you know, we're way above everybody, you know. And anyhow, I looked at him and I said, are you saved? Well, he said, of course I'm saved. We did what the Bible said. And I thought, my God, I ought to get out there and preach to all them people that are supposed to be preaching. Anyhow, they're telling people to do. You know, we need to preach to them. Why? Because they're not, they just throw this stuff out here. They just throw things out here. And, you know, that can hurt a person more than help. Hurt an individual. That's why you want to move in line with the Word. You know, I don't want to have to take the responsibility. Just stay with the Word. I don't have to be responsible for the Word. God is. And if His Word don't work, that's His problem. Amen. But if I'm doing my thing, that's my problem. If I'm doing my thing, it's my problem. I caused it. But if I'm staying with the Word. So the Word says, now look at this. This was at verse 10. For with the heart one believes. See, you believe with the heart. The heart or your spirit. That's how you believe. It's with the heart. The believing's there. You have to know. How do you know when you're believing in your heart? I can't tell you another. You know. You know. You have to know your heart. I mean, I can't. I don't know your heart. Unless God would tell me, unless God would show me, I don't know your spirit if you're believing. Now, there's this I can do over time. I can usually tell with a person if they're lining up with their belief, what they're saying they believe. I can tell over time. Lots of times, I've watched people. They say they're believing something. Watch them for a while. I can tell if they are. You can tell over time by their own actions what they're saying. Number one, it doesn't matter. Like this is like within the areas of like, you know, politicians, they come out and they say all these different things and stuff. And it's not knocking politicians. People do this. Even preachers do it. They come out and say all these different things. Watch them over time. You'll find out if they really believe what they say. Lots of people are saying a lot of things. That ain't what they're doing. Saying all kinds of stuff. And understand this in the home. Kids know whether you believe it or don't. They know. They know whether you can sit and go all through the song and dance and telling them all kind of stuff. They see and know. They see and know if you believe this stuff or you're doing. They know. It ain't hard to figure out. And because they figure out quick whether this thing. See, there's one thing is you got to make. There's one thing is my wife and our kids knew we weren't perfect. But they knew God was. Hallelujah. They knew God would work through us and God would do things. They watched God manifest. They saw things happen. And therefore, they follow there. With the heart, one believes unto righteousness. Then it says, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So, to get saved, then you need the mouth part. But if you don't have the believing, ain't no use jumping to the mouth part. See, the first thing in there, settle that in your heart. I'm so thankful I heard things like Kenneth Hagin said. I heard him talk, but he said, people are too quick to pray. They ain't ready. You're not ready to pray. No, we just want a situation to go away. And one of the worst things I found out, because I learned this myself, you start praying for certain things when you're not really in faith. You ain't ready to pull the trigger, and you get yourself in a place where you've lied to yourself, and you want to go over this thing like you're believing, and you really are not. And you hurt yourself more than you help yourself. Because you get out of here talking like you're of faith, but it ain't. And so I don't want to admit I'm wrong, so I have to back off then. And so I don't want to look bad. Oh, pride's a bad thing. I know, none of you been there, just me. See, that's why you said amen, you saw me. No, it does. This is why. Don't jump the gun on this thing. I've learned over time, you know, when I was started off as a Christian, I was quick on faith and stuff. You know, you just, oh boy, punch it in right away on that stuff. But I learned over time, hallelujah. See, his wisdom comes with patience. Man, I didn't start out with none of that. Sometimes I got to put the brakes on today, you know. You want things to change. You want things right away. We lose patience, and if you're losing patience, you just admitted to yourself your faith ain't working. Wasn't that fun? I tell you, it was great to hear, wasn't it? See, I see people who are impatient. It's crazy talking about faith. No. You're not. Now, I'm talking from experience. I've gone through this stuff, man. I've been through this thing of my impatience and that stuff, playing the faith game. And as I'm talking about playing the faith game. You're going through this thing. And you finally got to stop and bring things to a halt. You got to learn to listen to your own heart. You have to come to the place where you listen to your own heart. That's the place of faith. If you're not listening to your own heart, you can't be listening to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's in there. That's what He is. That's the place. You got to go there. That's the place of knowing. That's the place where you come to that you can stand. Once you know it, you can stand. And have all kind of things around from the natural aren't going right, things around you, but you just know inside. You just got it. You got it on the inside. You just know. You just know that you know. Everybody goes through the thing from the outside. There's things come against your faith. If you're moved by your emotions and dealing with the thoughts that come to your mind and stuff and things like that, they really become a thing that really move you. You're going to always have a hard time with faith. Because that's the norm. Things coming against you. Things. See, you're standing. Faith is about believing something that has no substance. You're believing something that's not tangible. You're believing something that cannot be seen is going to show up tangible. And faith is the place that you're at till it does. That's what holds it. That's what upholds your desire to see that whatever it is come to pass. And if you can't stay on, the guy on the inside ain't running the show. If what's running the show is every time you get a bad thought, oh, I must not be in faith. I'm just thinking bad thoughts. You're going to that? Hey, you're just going to have a miserable faith life. You're going to have the faith. Because why? Those things are always there. You're in the natural. You're in the natural today sitting here. Things going on around you are always going to affect. Your body has emotions. It has feelings and all that kind. It has sight, hearing, and everything. You're always, things are coming along that can be contrary to the way that you're walking or the way that you think. It's constant. You can't stop it. You know, I want to pray for me that the devil never bothers me again. Okay, we're going to send you home to be with Jesus, and that'll never happen again. See, you come, it's going to, there are constant, that's not going to change. What changes is where you're listening. Faith listens on the inside. It's not moved by the outside. It says, you know, these outside, they're here. That's here, that is. Because the devil will come along and say, didn't you see that? People will come along and say, didn't you see that? Didn't you hear that? Didn't you hear? Yes. Didn't you hear this? Didn't you hear that? People will come along. That's not going to stop. Faith life don't make everything roses, and you and Tiny Tim get ukuleles out and sit in a field somewhere with little flowers and sing. No, you're out there in that field and it looks burnt up. And you're standing there in faith. And you're hearing everything you didn't want to hear. But it's there. But you have an idea. The inner man, he hears. And he speaks, and you need to come into that place. Allow him. What's he believing? What's he saying? That's the place. That is the most powerful place that you have. You need to understand that. My spirit is the most powerful thing that I got. It's the most powerful. Through believing in my spirit, if I'll hook my mouth into it, I can become a new being. And I did. Nothing else can do that. Nothing else can cause that to happen. Nothing else can make that take place. See, this inner man is the most perfect seed. The Word of God, this perfect seed, is designed for this human spirit. It's like God. And that soil planted in there will produce God's plans, purposes, and wills. Nothing else can do. It's the most your spirit's the most powerful thing that there is. In this earth, it's what God's like. In this earth, we're the beings walking around here, what God's like. And out of this being, if he believes something, if this being believes, as we'll turn to Mark 11, 23 and 24. We want to talk about them because, see, it coincides exactly with this scriptures we're looking at. These coincide exactly with these scriptures that we're looking at. Mark 11, 23. Jesus had spoken to a tree. He spoke to a tree. Now, when he spoke to that tree, he did it one day. On the evening, walking back, he was heading to bed, left Jerusalem. After he was in at the temple, left Jerusalem, we're heading toward Bethany, spoke to the tree, told it to wither it up. Nobody's ever going to eat fruit off of it again. The next day, they're heading back into Jerusalem. Peter goes, hey, that tree you spoke to, it died. This tree's dead. And Jesus said, man, weren't we lucky? I was lucky on that, wasn't I? How did that turn out? Ain't that something? No, he makes this statement to them. First of all, he said to him, Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Well, now there was a statement from the standpoint, well, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So in other words, faith in God comes from hearing from God, hearing God's word. Now, that statement there, actually in little translation, it's having the faith of God. And Kenneth Hagin and different ones would say the things, you know, having the God kind of faith, which is exactly right. If you have the faith of God, then you have faith like God has. You have the God kind of faith. The Word of God can only give you one kind of faith. It can't give you Cousin Harry's faith. If you have Cousin Harry's faith because you think his word's more important than God. See, we need to understand, it's having faith in God. God's Word brings God's faith. So the faith that I have in God, I got from Him. He gave me His kind of faith. It only derives from His Word. That's what His kind of, doesn't come from anything else. So He's telling them how He got to be able to speak to that tree. He's following a principle to tell them, you have faith in God, you can do this kind of stuff. Now, Mark 11:23 then says, for assuredly I say to you, now that word assuredly there, you look in the King James, I think it says, verily, verily I say unto you. Really, that statement, and they used to make it in that stuff different words, they'd say, it'd be like when they used to go to court and say, I'm going to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's basically what this kind of thing is. It's making a statement that's saying, hey, look, this thing I'm telling you, this is the truth. Well, now you need to understand this. You decide, is this the truth? Jesus said it was. So I'm on Jesus' side. So to me, it's like, this got to be the truth. I don't care if I can get it to work or not. This is the truth.
Amen.
I can't speak against it. Now, sadly, even the word people speak against this. And we limit ourselves on these areas. He said, for a short I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain be removed and be cast in the sea does not doubt in his head. He doesn't doubt in his feelings. He doesn't doubt because he heard something. No, he doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. He's going to have what he says if he is speaking from his heart and no doubt about it.
Amen.
See, you need to know this. Many times we're trying to bring things to pass. We aren't totally convinced yet. You may be partially convinced on something. There's nothing wrong. It's good to start to get convinced. But if you want to learn to bring things to pass faith-wise, you got to come to the place where you know that's true and that's it. You don't let anything else in. This is it. We want to bring it to pass. See, I found out about walking divine health and things like that. You can't do this stuff, this half-hearted thing. Well, yeah, I believe Jesus heals. But sometimes. Now, I want you to get a hold of this, is what Jesus did not say, which people say today. People make these statements and say this. In fact, I can say this. I heard Kenneth Hagin say this. He said, he's not really talking here about moving mountains. He's talking about the mountains in your life. Well, I'm sorry, that ain't true. Jesus proves by the things that he does. Why would he tell people that they could do that? And they could, why did he tell disciples they could tell a tree to go jump in the ocean over here? And he didn't really mean it? It's about the mountains in your life? See, the church doesn't understand that Adam and Eve were designed to control the entire earth, everything on it, in the physical. I wonder if Jesus gave us a salvation or less. We didn't. We didn't control things. We don't. Because I'm sorry. Now somebody, I know people get nervous. Why, he spoke against Brother Hagin. Well, he didn't know everything. He even said he didn't. But I heard him say that one time. He's not really talking about talking to mountains. I said, well, you know, it's totally different than what the Lord told me. I was a young Christian. The Lord spoke to me one day and said, didn't you notice that I never, and from the scriptures, he said, I never prayed about animate objects. I always spoke to them. I said, well, no. I don't ever heard anybody talk about that. So I went over and looked at scriptures. He talked to storms. He talked to trees. He said, you can do it. He did these things. He said, I never prayed about them. I talked to them. I will tell you what, animate objects, I never pray concerning animal. And I've, over the years, I've done pretty good at this thing. I've gotten pretty good at it. Of talking to things, saying stuff to things. You see, people need it. We don't today. People don't do that. You know, what about the mountain in your life? Well, can we change things around us? All things are possible to him that believeth, except moving mountains and doing. You see, it limits people's faith. It limits people's faith. I don't want to do that. I don't care if I can't believe to do the mountain. I have no business giving somebody else a good portion of unbelief so they can't too. Because I can't. Christians do this junk all the time. If I can't make it happen, you can't either. No, I want you to go further. You can believe further. Have at it. Go after it. You know, every one of us, we have certain areas in our life we're very good at. Maybe other areas we aren't. Another person does really good in an area we don't. Their faith is more developed in that area. Everybody's like that. Hallelujah. There's things that I learned from the time as a young Christian. I learned to speak to things. I learned to speak to weather. I learned to do that kind of stuff. I would do things to speak to weather and that kind of stuff. You know, you can do things. Now, the Bible talks about, Elijah said, you know, he's got folks said it wasn't going to rain for three and a half years. I mean, New Testament went over it. Said when he spoke again, it did. He said, you know, people say, well, God did that. Yeah, he did it at his word. Gee, do you know about that? See, he ain't talking about real mountains. Well, yes, he is. There's things around you you'll need to learn to speak at. Hallelujah. See, when the Lord told me years ago around our place, I had been doing study and read a book or two on the areas about the blood and concerning the power of the blood and things like that. And I was reading and studying that area. And the Lord spoke to me, and this is back years ago. He said, He said, weather systems and things are going to change. He said, in the last days, he said, there's going to be a lot of, weather events and stuff take place, cause a lot of destruction. And then he said this to me. Now, I knew it wasn't him doing it, cause he said this. He said, don't let the devil tear up your house. Don't let him tear up your property. Don't allow him to do that. So this I knew, right? Things are coming. But see, as the church for us, in other words, you don't allow, in other words, I'm the one that's supposed to take care of my property, not him. If I stand by faith, he'll help me, but he can't help me. My property's my problem. See, people are, well, God's in control. Well, I'm going to tell you what, you're going to have a lot of trouble in life. Because you're not going to take your place of authority. See, we need to understand down here, why would he tell the disciples that they could move that mountain if God was just going to do that, they didn't have to. No, you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to do something. This is about the faith. This is why God couldn't have told and said these things had Jesus speak out what the Father's will and plan was if your spirit was not up to doing it. I want you to talk to him. He's talking to spiritually dead men and tells them they can do it. What is we as Christians today, where are we at? These guys weren't born again, and he told them they could do this. We see, under the old covenant, if they got the word in their heart, they could bring things to pass. We deal today, but you're dealing with a spirit. A born-again spirit has the nature of God. You're the righteousness of God. Your spirit's as righteous as God is. You put God's word in it and believe it on doubt. My God. Man, you know what I got to say? It's like handing a baby, you know, an atomic bomb and say, just pull this, push this button, it's going to go off. That's what we've been given in the church. But the church, it says, no, God pushes the button. No, we're the button pushers. We are. Our faith, it starts with believing heart. We can take God's word and put it in our heart and make the things we desire that he put in his word for us to come to pass. Get him in your heart. See, you got to see who you are. That's why you got to look at how could God seat me in a place of authority where Jesus Christ is and down here and not give me the ability. Authority is worthless if it don't have any ability to it to do anything. It's worthless. Authority is worthless. It has no value. A guy said, I'm going to make you president of the company, but the board's going to run everything. Well, then you ain't the president of the company. So let's get rid of it, you know. Let's get real about this whole thing. In this earth, on this side, man is the authority. Jesus Christ can't accomplish in this earth through anything no more than man on this earth will allow him to accomplish, allow him to do. I mean, just think about Israel in their time. They want a king. God can't say, well, you can't have a king. God could have said it. They'd have still wanted one. They could have made one. He couldn't have done anything about it. He might not like to have been able to help them, but he said, well, give them what they want. This is what they want. This is in their heart. Let them have it. Why? They're in charge. I ain't. They decided, well, but he said this. You're going to call on me about this guy. You ain't going to like it. I ain't answering. Now, see, he could do that in his authority, but he could not stop them. Just think about God back in the old covenant, before the law. You know, they're down here, the heat of them down here following after things going wrong. And God says, you know what? There's nothing withheld from them that they can't do. Sinful man? See, I don't think we really grasped the authority of man in the earth. I don't think I'm tired of hearing Christians talking about the sovereignty of God. Now, there is that. And thank God to understand. But the sovereignty of man here in this place. The church has this much knowledge on it. Oh, it's this big. But they have this much knowledge and walk around and we talk like, well, we're really spiritual. We really got, no. We don't understand the authority that's put here. What God, I can't imagine that God gave us what He gave us. It's like, and really, it's like to me, it's handing a baby a loaded gun. It seems in that matter. But God gave it from the standpoint that man can be blessed. Man can do wonderful and glorious things. Man has just decided to do it in the way that he wants to do it. Man decides how far. It's like when I asked the Lord about a certain thing, He spoke to me about it. I said, well, how far do I go with that? And He said, it doesn't depend on me. How far do you want to go? How far do you want, spiritually, how far do you want to go? How far? You did. It's not in God's hand. You know, if you don't operate in faith, revelation won't come to you. You won't grow. You lack wisdom? What? If you lack wisdom, God will just give it to you because you're His kid and He'll just... But see, that's the general thought. I'm amazed how much of that is in people that say, well, that wouldn't be true. But yet in many senses of their life, that's the way they operate and walk. Like that's true. They say, I don't believe it. Well, notify what you're doing that you don't believe it, because we can act in that manner. See, I don't believe none of us have gone near as far as we can go in the areas of faith and in changing things. We need to go further. But we find here, this person cannot doubt in their heart to move that mountain. He must believe the things that he says will be done, not can be done. It is not important what God can do for you. The only thing that's important to you is what you believe He will do for you. What He can do, you may never experience or ever have. See, people say, I believe God can heal. Well, what good does that do you? There's one thing, see, is I believe He will heal Ed. That's where faith comes from. Faith is I believe He will do for me, not what He can do for me. He can do anything. God can do anything. Well, how much of this anything He can do we see? And this is what people have derived at. Well, they look around all the bad things that happened and they say, well, it must have been His will, because He can do all that. So then. Oh, we sort of shoot ourselves in the foot with this stuff, and we do. But it's stopping. So you come to the point, what will God do for me? That's when you arrive at the place of faith, is where you know what He will do. What will He do for you today? What do you believe He will do? Now see, if I see something the Scripture tells me that He will do for me, but I got to come to the place where He and take it for myself. You know, here's a promise. Well, that promise is good, or the Word says this. This is really good. But it has to become where I stop and say this, that when I make a statement, I believe this, it will be done. This is going to be done for me. Anybody says anything any different, I refuse. No, I'm sorry. This will be done. This is going to be done for you. You know, I've told the story, you know, about me, you know, having a heart attack. You're running down the road inside of me. I knew that I had this thing. My body is telling me completely different. Everything around me, everything that I could feel, and my brain is telling me, what are you doing? You know, because see, my brain's hooked to my body and my body don't like what's happening. So my brain's telling me, see, you know, we renew our mind, but you know, I had a really good renewed mind at the time. But still, you have all this feeding coming to you from all these other things, and then you get the devil singing chimes in there for you, and you got all this thing. After a while, you know, you started off, and it was, you know, a solo, and now it's a quartet. And it's going, oh, this thing's going there. But see, I knew I couldn't visit. And the inside of me, I just knew that I had it. I knew in the inside that I had it. I just knew. I knew this. I was running down that road, and I thought, this stuff passed my mind. If I die running down this road, God's a liar. He can't let me die running down this road. He can't do it. Why? My heart was strong toward it. He can't lie. This thing got to work. Amen. It's got to work. This thing has to work. See, you got to come. There's a place in you that you have to have. No, that's that place of confidence. You know, and you don't doubt. You just know it. Yet everything else is chiming on the outside. All that's there. You're not going to come to a place of faith and you just, it's the life of ease. Faith is not a life of ease. It is not. Amen. It's a challenge. That's why it's called the good fight of faith. Why? It's because the outcome is good, but the punches ain't no fun. Amen. The punches ain't no fun. Amen. I've had punches and I didn't like them. My God. Punches come along. You know, people shout about, you know, the victory they have after it happened. But I'll tell you what, sometimes you got to tell people what you go through to get there. You know, when I got my blood clot, I had a blood clot in my lung. Man, I tell you what, that was painful. That was the worst pain I ever had when I was a sinner, and I got a virus in my spine, and it caused my spinal column to swell. And, pain. Oh my God, it's like your whole body's in pain. And, you're just sensitive to everything, and I mean, you just ain't doing nothing with hurting. I mean, literally, I wanted to die. It couldn't stand it. And they give medication, but medication really don't help a whole lot. You know, they're just toning it down a little bit, and that was really bad. But when I had my blood clot, up until the time of being saved, I never had so much pain in my life. It literally felt like somebody stuck me in the chest with a knife. It felt like they were just digging it around. I mean, it was, oh, it hurt. It just painful. And, I was sure glad when it stopped. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you, when I got in, I went into the emergency room, and I went in the emergency room, and I got in there, and this pain would just, and it gets worse. Yeah, the bad part about it, see, it didn't hurt as much when you didn't breathe. So I'm trying to hold my breath, you know, I say, well, you know, just can't do that so long. And so when you do take a breath, you take a short one, because you take a long one, you really got pain. And so I'm going through this fun thing. But on the inside, I know I'm healed. One of the things I want to know, have I done anything that I'm keeping this? You know, have I opened the door to something? See, sometimes you got to know this, see, folks. See, people don't do this. People sometimes, they just jump out there in their faith, they're making confessions, you know, and the devil's done things in their life because the door is open for the devil to do it in their life. And they don't ever deal with it. And I wanted to know. And they're sitting on the table in the emergency room. When everybody left the room, it was just me and Wanda, and I sat there and I said, Lord, I said, I just need to hear. I said, if there's anything I need to repent or change, I want to know that. Because see, if there is anything out of the way, it's causing this. And down on the inside, it was on the inside. See, the pain was still going on. The noise is on the outside. But see, you got to learn to hear. If you can't hear in the battle, you're going to lose the battle. I'm just telling you, this is how Christians lose the battle. Because they can't hear. They've never trained themselves to hear. They only learn to hear when their emotions are running high and the pain and things are running high. That's all they can hear. You got to learn to turn to the inside. And I sat there and I looked in the inside. And this came up out of me in the inside. Don't you be concerned. Everything's going to be all right. I looked over Wanda and said, don't worry about it. Everything's good. We're good now. Hallelujah. In 20 minutes, I was just completely fine. I was just sitting there completely. Didn't have no pain. Didn't have nothing. Felt absolutely good. They're running tests and I think, I don't know why they're running these tests, because I knew this. I even knew the test that they were running on me wasn't going to find the answer. It was only the last test that found what the answer was in my lung. They were giving tests and I thought, what do these people do? I'm having trouble right here in my lung, right here in this spot, just like somebody sticking a knife in it, and they're checking me for gallbladder problem. And I thought, my words, you know. Yeah, see, my gallbladder moved. It's just amazing. Could have been my appendix. You never know. Anyhow, they're going through their research and all this stuff, and I'm thinking, these poor people, I feel sorry for them. They need a doctor. Finally, at the end, they said, you had a blood clot. I told Wanda, yeah, they figured out, if the blood clot was going to, if I wouldn't have got a hold of this, I'd already be dead by now until they figured out what to do with it. This is why I'm telling you, people, you need to learn to walk by faith. Amen. Your doctor may not be able to help you. Amen. You better learn to get a hold of things. I've learned this a long time ago. You better learn how to get a hold of stuff. Can't wait sometime for the doctor. You got to get a hold of it. Amen. You're going to have to change it. Well, hallelujah. But see, there was a thing. While this is going on, I want to get you on the inside of me. There was a knowing on the inside. See, I had a hold of something here on the inside of me. Even though all this is going on. See, my heart is always toward God. Sometimes, and really, if you can't get over your own emotions and your own things you're dealing with, what happens is they misdirect you from your heart. And you can't hear what's on the inside of you. You lose contact with your own faith. You lose contact with it. And what happens? It gets noisy on the outside. You start saying wrong things, you start acting in wrong manners, you start doing things that cripple your own faith. This is why you got to learn to hear on the inside. You got to learn to listen down on the inside of you, the inner man. See, I've always, there's just confessions that I've always made about myself, about my inner man, who I am and what I am. And I've always talked those things, and I've always acted in that manner. Keeping yourself conscious. In everything you do in life, get yourself where you're always, you know, you're always, you know, I always, during the day, I keep my heart turned toward God about things. You got to learn to do that and walk in life. See, there's so much to get you busy and out of the way and all kinds of things is going on. What people usually do, they don't, God isn't in the center of their life till everything else is done and all this stuff. And then when the problem comes, now let's get over into this God thing. See, God got to be able to speak. I need to hear. And I've said this over the years. I have never been in a situation, whether dealing with myself, my family, or other people, even in life and death, that God has not spoken to me. See, I don't believe in God not talking dead. I don't believe in it. I do not believe in God not talking dead. I done read the Bible. I don't believe it. I don't believe it don't happen. When people tell me, well, you know, God don't talk to me, I say, God's been talking to you. You're so darn noisy in your mind and everything else. You can't hear nothing. That's what's going on. I say, well, how do you know? Because I've been there. See, don't play the game with me. God, it's His problem. Something's wrong with Him. Nothing. Why would God move in me in the inside and shut up? Dear Lord, He's trying to help this knucklehead. He's trying to do something. In spite of me, He shows up. Glory to God. Get yourself set on that. Get this set on your believing. This believing place, come to the place on the inside of you that you know for sure, that you know, like you say, know that you know, that you know that you know. You got it. I got this thing. Now you're ready to pull the trigger. But not until then. See, making a confession and having doubt running in your heart, it's not going to work. That's why Mark 11:24, it goes to prayer. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask. Now, word there, ask, means can mean to ask, desire, or require. When you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. You believe what? In your heart. You, what do? You believe you receive them. In other words, you believe you got them. You believe God gave it to you before you feel it, see it, got goosebumps, whatever it is that you were looking for. You believe at that time when you pray, it belongs to you. That's what faith. Faith is the place that you stand when the thing has not manifested. You continue there till it manifests. You continue that place believing you what? Have it. If you believe you really have it, why would you be going back and asking again like He didn't give it to you? Amen. Why? Because you didn't believe it. You're going to, what you're saying is, I'm going to believe it. In other words, your actions by praying has just killed your faith. I've done this already enough, so God dealt with me with people going back over that time. I've had this at times that people prayed and the Lord told me that a certain thing wasn't going to work. I said, well, why will it work for them? He said, because they come back again. He said, they just killed it. They got onto it. Now they're back at it again like they don't have it. One of the things that you need to learn to do is repent about your unbelief. You know, I appreciate Mike talking this morning, just the fact he missed it. And he, you know, says he missed it. See, you know what people do? People go back and blow up with their faith and they just get up and jump at it again. Don't stop and say, God, forgive me for not believing your word. Forgive me for not acting on it like it was true. No, they just jump right back and just forget about it, think it's nothing. Any action outside of it, whatever isn't a faith is sin. We don't consider that sin today. No, you just jump back and pull the trigger again. We're just going to go do it again. We don't realize it. You stop and say, God, you know, you're right, I missed it. I missed it on this thing. And forgive me because I wouldn't believe in your word. That ain't right. You're honest and never lie, and I'm treating you like a liar. Amen. See, no wonder things ain't working for me. No wonder it's not working. But people just jump. See, we don't teach people the importance of the power of the word of God. Is Jesus Lord? Is Jesus my Lord? What does His word amount to? What does it amount to? Can I just take it or leave it or just go when I want to and want to have it back and forth? See, we can't treat things like this and have a kind of faith that we want to have. You know, He's right and Ed's wrong. If it ain't working for me, that means Ed's messed up and Ed needs to repent. somewhere along the line, Lord, I'm missing it. You can't miss it. You're always right. You're good. You're perfect. That's where it's at. If it isn't working for me, where have I missed it, Lord? Amen. Show me what I've done. I'll repent. Get back in line quick. I'll do it. Hallelujah. You see, you need to take that. You know, folks, that's what being humble is.
Amen.
See, we have people that are full of pride. You know, you don't admit you're wrong. You just keep going on, just keep pulling the trigger to one, trying to make these things happen. You know, when you're a baby, you might get away with that some. That's why Kenneth Hagin made this statement. He said, you pastors need to know this. He said, you ain't going to get most of your people healed. Because too many people listen to only one side of faith messages. They want to hear, yeah, I just believe something, say it comes to pass. That's all they want to hear. Oh, yeah. I put money in an offering plate, and boy, then cash falls on top of me out of a tree. It's all they want to hear. And I'm going to tell you what, you can be one of those kind of preachers, and you can make money out of doing it. Because they'll follow you. Because I'll tell you what, they're always going to follow the guy. Generally, people are going to follow the guy that tells them what they want to hear.
Amen.
Bible says so. Many people don't get big crowds because they're really preaching the truth. That's what that itch and ear thing was in the scriptures. They're following what, you know what? I thank God I had teachers who told me the truth.
Amen.
Thank God teachers showed me this way of life, this way of faith is a better life. It's not living like hell and getting blessed. It's not living, you know, just casually and just getting blessed. It wasn't that. There's a higher level of walk. There's a higher level of glory to be had. A place of communion with God that you can't touch any other way.
Amen.
A fellowship. See, I do this, believers. I believe God gets silent with people. But you know what? I'm quick to repent. I'm quick to admit it blew it. Now, I ain't had to ever do that often. Now, that is definitely an altar call for liars. We act like that there's some kind of weakness. There's no weakness in admitting God's strong and Ed's weak because God knows I need Him. I don't know how you do this Christian walk. I don't understand because there's a lot of Christians try to walk this Christian walk without God. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you do it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. His word's true.
Amen.
He's absolutely wonderful. If you believe God has given it to you, then this is what's said. If you believe you receive it, it belongs to you. He said, then you will have it. See, you got it in the inside. See, that's like when I was telling the story about my lung. When I was sitting there in that table in that emergency room, see, what I want to know, I don't want to miss it with God. It isn't just about me not having a problem, but if I missed it with Him.
Amen.
Have I missed it with Him? Because I know this, if I've missed it and I've stopped something from coming to pass, it will not just affect me, it's going to affect other people too.
Amen.
Because if my prayer life ain't working for me, do you think it's going to be working very good for others? See, people don't care anymore. You know, they just go along and things and they have a prayer life that's just, it's junk. It ain't nothing but junk. People are not correcting me. I want to know if I've messed up. As I told the Lord, I said, Lord, if I messed up, I'll repent. If there's anything I need to change, I'll change whatever it is. We'll change it. I want to know, did I miss it here? Did I open the door? You know, sometimes you can just get under attack. You ain't done nothing wrong. You'd be under attack. He said, don't be concerned about it. Everything's fine. And he was right. Everything just, I mean, from that point on, 20 minutes later, everything went great. They told me, you know, the poor doctors, and I realized they said we want to stay overnight. I could have easily gone home and not have any, I could have easily, you know, wouldn't have been trouble going home. I could have done it. But the Lord told me, He said, for their sake, stay, they'll worry. You know, sometimes you got to do things for people.
Mm-hmm.
You got to do it for them. But we don't know nothing about, a lot of faith people are just arrogant as crazy. They just push, 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 push. He said, you stay for their benefit. Well, see, you know what I realized God was doing? They needed to see something supernatural happen. They didn't know what to do with me. They kept constantly these different cardiology. They had the whole cardiology team. Now, I didn't need the whole team, but every so often, one of the team members would come in and say, how you doing? I said, I'm doing fine. Are you sure? Is everything all right? Next one come in and through the same thing. Are you okay? You okay? Are you sure you're all right? Yeah, I feel great. Are you sure? Then they'd send somebody else. The nurses would come in. You're all right. You're not having any pain. No, I'm not having any pain. Are you sure? Say, no, I wouldn't know if I was having pain. I wouldn't know. So I'm a little dense between the ears. That could be true. But they just kept coming in. They just didn't know what to do with me. So finally the head cardiologist came in, and I told him, because they said, kept me overnight. So the next day, you know, I'm out of here. I'm going home. Well, you know, they said, you know, and I said to him, I said, I'm leaving. I'm attending meetings. I said, I'm going out to Branson, Missouri. I said, there's some meetings, ministry meetings I'm attending out there. And I had planned on going. And I said, I still plan on going. I said, what do you think? I just want to get it by him, what he thought. He said, well, I looked over your stuff. We've checked you. He said, you're absolutely fine. Now, he says, I'm going to say this to you. He said, but don't you tell the rest of the team. Because he said, don't worry. He said, I don't see why you can't go. But see, they needed a testimony. Mm-hmm. See, there's something other than. Yeah. See, I'm in a bed beside a guy over here who's a Christian on the other side, and you'd never know there's Christianity. God was ever involved in nothing over there. But it's the way they think and what they're doing. I mean, they're over there, it's a mess. And you watch their his family come in and different people from his church. And they're trying to do a funeral. This poor guy, I felt so bad for him because he don't know nothing about nothing. And they're coming in and talking down on the whole time, telling him ugly stories. I heard more ugly stories about what happened to people. He said, this poor guy's gone through this. He's having a hard time. And they're over there telling him ugly stories. And I'm thinking, God, you know, maybe you don't kill people. Could you have devil send some lightning and knock some of these people out here? This guy can see that they don't belong here. This poor guy's over there and they're telling awful stories. It was bad because the night I was taken in, some of them visit, and then another group come in the next morning, come in and see this guy and told him more horror stories. He's sitting over there. I'm sitting the other side. These people come in the morning. I'm sitting there and I had my Bible. First thing I did when Wanda said, stand right, I said, you give me my Bible. I said, I want to have one. I like reading from a Bible. I don't really like as much reading from tablets and phones and stuff and that kind of thing. I'm used to these, looking at my Bibles, and so I said, get my Bible. So I'm sitting there reading the Bible. And I thought the funniest thing in the world, I mean, this guy next to him is a Christian. He ain't got a Bible. Ain't nobody God that comes in. All these Christian people come in. All of them coming in, ain't one of them got a Bible. They ain't said a thing about the scriptures, and the guy walks past, oh, you got a Bible, that's really good. I thought, yeah, I'll just sell you one. Just, dear Lord, I just, good God, give that poor guy over there a scripture, do something for him. And you couldn't talk with him because he always had somebody there. It was always one of the knuckleheads there all the time. You got a knucklehead there, you know, giving him a hard time, not talking faith. See, in those times, you know, people need encouragement. You know, even if a person is not in the areas of faith, do things to encourage them, hallelujah. Do things that encourage them, even the standpoint. It is even better for your health if your body, and if you're not over here Mr. and Mrs. Depressed. I mean, that surely does help. And so, you know, don't do those kind of things. Don't do those things to people. Look at what James, I'm going to read to you what James wrote, and you heard this, because this deals with this area of faith, and we're talking about believing in the heart. Its importance. How important it is that I be able to contact my heart and believe it. Now, in James, James said this, and it's about wisdom. See this, and whether it's wisdom, whatever it is, the principle of faith is always identical. It does not change. James says in James 1 and verse 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to you. He didn't say it might, but I want you to see it. So here we know, here is God. God is telling you specifically concerning wisdom, his plan and his purpose for you in giving wisdom. He says it. What does it say? Let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. Reproach means, if you look up at that word in the Greek, it's the idea that if you did something wrong, you did something stupid, God will still be good to you. So, you know, in spite of dumb, God will help you. Has God ever helped you out of dumb? Thank God, he sure helped me out of a lot of dumb. Glory to God. Well, in other words, you messed up. He's not going to hold back even from people sometimes with my past. I'd deal with my dad before he went home to be with the Lord, dealing because he looked at his past of things. thinking God dealing with him in the past, and I showed him scripture. That's not the way it's dealt with, you know. I didn't want to have that thinking that his past was going to keep God blessing from your life. You know, it don't. You need to understand. God's better than all that. He said he gives it liberally. He didn't say he gives a little bit. He said without reproach. And then what is it? Well, he answers the question. It will be given to you. See, why does that statement there, why did James write that? Because you cannot have faith to get it unless you know he will give it to you. You have no place of faith. You ask God wisdom. People say, I ask God for something, and I'm not getting anything. Well, I said, well, you ain't going to get nothing. You just said you don't believe he gave it to you. Gives it to you. You don't believe it. See, it's calling God a liar. God said he will. This is the word of God. James said he will. There is no basis for you to believe the word of God in your heart if God has not said yet that he would do it for you. You have no basis for it. The basis of faith is on what God has done, not based on trying to get him to do something. This is why faith don't work. People are going to believe God gives it to them when they feel better. Well, that's not faith. There's no faith in that. Well, sometimes God says yes, sometimes he says no. There's no faith in that. You can't have faith if you don't know. Faith is based. This is why you make sure you get into the Word, find out what God said, things concerning your situation that you can stand on, that God will do, and be confirmed of the fact that God will do it for you. You know, lots of times, you know what most people need? They need wisdom. That's what they need. They really don't know what God's will is about things. They don't really know. They partially know something. They've heard things. You know, lots of times people are trying to get healed, and what they really need is wisdom. If they got the wisdom, they get healed in no time. They need wisdom. Oh, where's it? No, I need healed. No, the reason you're not getting healed is because you don't know what you think you know. You ain't near as bright as you think you are. You need some wisdom on what to do so you can take a hold of this thing. Many people are not taking a hold of whatever it is they're after. Especially in the areas of healing and dealing with people in that. Many times they're trying to take a hold of something that they can't take a hold of. They're not in a place or a position of faith to do that. And I'm just sorry to say, it's hard to get people to listen to you. I don't know why because you know what? It's just pride. They want to act like they know something they don't. Well, and I know and this and that stuff. I've had to do funerals for people I knew were going to die that insisted they were in faith. And I knew, you know, they went on and on and on. But I mean, they were so far, and I tried to talk to them about it. Oh, no. Oh, no. You ain't got a clue. You ain't got a clue. Well, if you got it, you know, I've learned a long time to keep my mouth shut. I sometimes say things to people they don't. I don't know my you know. I've had people ready, and they come on, they wouldn't listen to what I already said, and they come back and ask me for more things, and I don't know. Just let alone. Don't talk to them. I ain't gonna pay it, because you gotta say what they want to hear. Don't say what they need to hear. See, God's gonna give you wisdom about what you need to hear. Did God ever give you wisdom from some, and it wasn't what you really wanted to hear? If you haven't, you ain't never communed with God. You never had fellowship with God. I've had fellowship with God. And I've heard things sometimes that said, Ed, you better strap up, boy. You know, I do what he is. You know, God talks, you're off, you don't know. I found out sometimes there's things that, just the fact that we don't know. We don't know everything. And you need wisdom in an area. We've walked in faith as far as we can go, but we don't have the whole thing. You got to understand, I've gone along, and many times I went to the Lord, Lord, as far as I understand, I know where I'm standing at, I know what I'm doing. What don't I know? There's something. I just know in the inside of me. I just get down looking at the inside, and there's something down there that's a little check. Something here is not hooked right. I don't care. There ain't a lot hooked up right here. So I don't worry about that. I don't worry about the crazy upstairs because, you know, the upstairs can think the craziest thoughts. You can be Mr. Pure and Holy, and here you are 10 minutes later, wish you had a gun to shoot a guy. Right. You can't pay attention to this nutty thing up here. This thing's crazy. You can't live out of that thing. It'll do the dumbest stuff you ever thought in your life. You can be the most holy and have the most vulgar idea comes to your mind. See, where did that come from? Well, there's a source that things come from, but that's one thing as I know that didn't come out of my heart. That wasn't me and God bringing that one up. Where did that come from? See, you have to identify those things, knowing on the inside, and I just know on the inside, there's somewhere something I'm missing here on this. Lord, I need to know. You just show me. And over time, He'll show me. Over time, it'll come to me what I need to know. In other words, there's a piece of wisdom that I don't have. Majority of the time, we're asking for things that are not working, not because we're just, you know, in rebellion doing our own thing. We just don't have enough information. You need more information to stand in certain areas of faith than you're able to at the time with your knowledge. Your knowledge isn't enough. Thank God. Believe whatever you can. And I want to encourage you on that. Walk in the place of faith you can. Your faith will not grow trying to get, you know, take 10-step jump at one time if your faith ain't there. You know, sometimes you can do that. Sometimes your faith, you can jump from the bottom of the step the whole way up to the landing. You can. Sometimes your faith can do that. My faith can do that sometimes. Sometimes my faith now on certain things, I don't even think about the steps. I just jump right up there because now I know how that works. It does. But there's things that you need to know that you're going to have to take steps to get to. Learn to walk those steps. I don't care. It's like I heard Kenneth Hagin say, you know, it don't matter if I can't believe God for 2 million. He said, I'll take a million. See, it don't matter. See, this is many people. They want the big step. They want this big thing. Their faith isn't ready for that step. You take the step you can. I've watched supernatural things happen with people just taking the steps that they can. And I've watched God's hand work when before they were trying to take this big step and got nothing. They were getting nothing because they couldn't reach that. You know, I don't care if I can't believe God to drive a Ferrari, I can at least have a good car. I can get cars given to me. I can get cars and pay for them like nothing. I can do all that kind of stuff. Well, it's like, that's fine. I don't have to reach for the Ferrari. I see the people spiritually are trying to reach for the Ferrari and they can't even get a car to drive down the road without falling apart on them. I say, what am I doing? See, I'm trying to stretch out there. No, find where you can go and let Him do exceedingly abundantly above what you can imagine or think according to the power working in you. Hallelujah. Then you get a chance to get up and do a little jig. Woohoo! See, this is going, the next time I'll guarantee you, you'll take a bigger step. Amen. See, what you need in your faith is you need this faith, place in here where you can believe. Don't bypass where this guy can go on the inside. Because I'm going to tell you, it'll lead you to failure. You keep doing that. You keep going that place, you'll destroy your own faith. You know, maybe you want to believe for divine healing. But I'm going to tell you what, it's just like this. You go to a doctor. If you go to a doctor, well, set yourself, what do you believe? See, most people don't. Most people go to a doctor. They don't decide to believe until after the doctor's done told them everything. They have not set themselves to believe anything. They have not set themselves to something. They haven't put it in place. You know, it was with Wanda and I. Remember, you know, she was when the hospital. She's going to have her heart operation. They're going to put her new valve in and that kind of stuff. And we talked about beforehand is, you know, because you can sit and believe, well, we're going to believe God for the valve and that stuff. And we could have done that, but it doesn't matter. Even what I could believe or whatever. The thing that I learned over time is this: I talk to her where she's coming from, not where I'm coming from. It don't matter what you believe about the other person. Don't think of yourself so darn important. You can find out what they can believe. Where can they go in this thing? See, if two agree, now here you are, you're thinking way up yonder. Maybe you can, but they're way down here on this. Well, I don't care. You can call that agreement. I'll pray for you. Well, good luck. If a gift of the Spirit don't go into manifestation, yeah, you're just blowing wind. What you do is you find out where the person can stand, where they can stand. See, it's us with Wanda and I. We said we talked. She decided, because they told her what was wrong and that stuff, and she said she believed she'd go through the operation and everything was fine. Wanda had known, I watched her over time and doing things and concerning her faith. Once Wanda could set herself on something, it's going to happen that way. So you could either join your faith in or just go watch it happen and cheer. Well, you get, because she's going to have it happen. You know, it's just going to, I'm serious. Well, I've learned over time she can do that. I've watched her with other things and she can do that. So, you know, we sit down and we talked about what she was going to have. And in fact, we talked about before going in this thing. Okay, she's going to have it. She's not going to have a bunch of pain afterwards. She's going to have a really quick recovery. And we went through this whole thing talking about this whole thing. And this is, so we sat down and agreed, this is what we agreed on. Now, if you folks remember, the Sunday before she was operated, I guess it was on a Monday, and on Sunday we were in church. That was the first I announced to you guys that she was having the operation. And I told you why. Because I said, I didn't want none of you praying. I said, you don't need to pray. We already agreed. I'll tell you what you can agree on. See, we'd already talked and agreed. We'd already set the place of our faith. We ain't praying off into something else. See, this is what things are. People get over and say, oh, I'm believing God. Then they start praying. You know, I'm going to pray for a miracle. Well, that'd be nice to get one, but you said you can't believe for a miracle. You just said you were going to go do all this stuff. You're going to have a miracle. Why would you be going to have the operation? See, your actions don't qualify with what you said. I'm going to believe in a miracle. Now, you might get a gift of the Spirit. I've seen that happen. I've seen a person, they're going to the doctor. But see, it wasn't their faith. The gift of the Spirit went to operation. They got healed. But it wasn't their faith at all. Because if it was their faith, they would never went to the hospital to begin with. If it was their faith, get real. You know? It's like a person told me one time, they want to have the operations. I said, I'm going to believe when they cut me open, you ain't going to find anything. I said, if you're going to be able to find nothing, why are you going to let them cut you open? I said, excuse me, but I want to know why. I said, that's sort of a dumb way to go about it. Why don't you just believe they don't have it and you don't go to have the operation if you really believe that? Well, why? Because they didn't really believe that. That's what they wanted to happen. See, the Bible doesn't say whatever thing you want when you pray. Oh, my, my. That's how most people operate. It's what they want. It's not what they believe for. Find out what you can believe for and take that spot, whatever you can believe for. I will guarantee you, I did it my own personal life. We went from believing little things to bigger things and to bigger things and to bigger things. That's how it works. You ain't. That's the way that God finds you faithful with the little stuff, little ones. You ain't used your faith on the little. Forget about the big one when they come. It ain't happening to you. It ain't happening. There's no rocket science in this. Just the way it works. It's the laws of the Spirit. Ha ha. Just enjoy it. See, God's going to give you, if you ask, He guarantees you giving it to you. Then He says, now, so here this mean old James comes on. See, I like this James guy, you know. He talks to Ed like Ed needs to be talked to. He just tells Ed the truth. James loved me enough to say these things. Hallelujah. He said, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. That's not a positive statement. I'm serious. James is not a liked book in the Bible. He's not liked because he's downright direct. I think the reason he's so direct is because of himself. This is James is not the apostle James. This is James, the brother of Jesus. He walked in unbelief about him the whole time he was in the earth and then found out by Jesus appearing to him that Jesus was Lord. He was everything he said he was. He was the Messiah. He was the whole thing. And he's like, man, he's going to tell the truth because he knows what it is to walk in unbelief. He wasn't getting anything from God. And he's just telling you, you ain't either if you're going the way I went. Hallelujah. It says, why? This is a double-minded man. What does it mean in double-minded? Why? There's two minds. You have two minds. You have the mind of the Spirit and the mind of the flesh. Don't ever think that if you live out of the double mind, you're going to get anything. Faith is out of the mind of the Spirit. Your spirit has thought. It thinks. It reasons. Your human spirit. It has thoughts and reasons. You can let those thoughts and reasons come to your brain. Your brain ain't your mind. Your brain is an organ your mind operates through. See, we have like this brain is your mind. No, it isn't. It's your brain is like a computer. It's got a hard drive in it. You put things in it. How could you renew your mind if it did its own thing over here? You wouldn't. It's not this special thing over here. We've taught and dealt with it that way. But see, you can learn and let the mind of the Spirit. The more you have grown in your Christian walk with God, the more you've automatically put on the thoughts of God. The more you've meditated on the Word of God, the more you put those thoughts in, the things on the inside become stronger and start dominating thought in your mind. That's how it works. If you let the feelings and the senses and that stuff do all the governing and all that stuff, that's what's going to control your mind. That's what's going to go. You listen on the outside of everybody says how the world works and what's going on. That's what's going to dominate you. It's not rocket science. It's just the way it works. But I found this out. In me is the most power that there is. The power of my human spirit is a phenomenal thing. I sure wish I understood more about it because it's phenomenal. The more I can see into it, the more I realize how little we've touched into concerning things of the Spirit. How much we have to learn. But I want to tell you this, folks. We got an eternity. We got an eternity to learn about the things of this realm. How far we're going to go on the other side of this thing? Oh, my, my, my. It's hard to figure how far you're going to go. Hallelujah. So let's get on this today. This is the first part of it. Getting the Word of God into your spirit. Get your spirit man believing. We're going to talk about confession then, because that's the number two things. But we always want to jump to the confession side of it. Confession. Kenneth Hagin said this. The Lord told him this about confession. When he started off in teaching on faith, he said to teach more on the areas of confession, because he said the people at that time believed. He said most of the people, they believe what the Bible says, but there's talking different than what the Bible says. They believe it. There's a sad thing today is this. It's too many Christians know too little about the Word. They know very little. They're going to churches today. They're not sitting on it. They hear, you know, a nice little sermonette. They're going in and out. They're not getting enough. They're not spending the time at home. They're not spending the time of things and that kind of stuff of, you know, doing things to build the inner man. They're not doing that. See, I'm old school. I was raised in the stuff. We come into the kingdom of what you do to feed this inner man, the things you put into yourself. You know, we realized that what we did is to do this, is to know the Word of God. And you have to do that. You got to get to the things of it is where you know what the Bible says. You have to know what it says and be able to put it in you. Not some religious things. It's sitting down and finding out what's about it. Here's my situation. You know, we spend so much time calling out to God to change things than really changing ourselves. The biggest thing is I learned is I need to change.
Amen.
I need to change. In me. Yeah, we want Washington to change. People are praying for Washington to change, and you wonder why nothing changes. It ain't going to change. So the church stops and said, man, we got to change. We got to change. Now, God changed them because they annoy me. They annoy me because, you know, they tax me too much. Because you're such a poverty God, you can never give me enough money to pay the bill. We need, what we really need in this nation is less taxation. That's the answer to America. We need to get the government out of our pockets. No, we need to get God in the government, and we're going to need to get God back in the church. No, but all these things are saying, I don't, it's like me, I take no thrill at being conservatism. I take no, because what they think we're going to change ain't going to change squat. All these natural things are going to make us more spiritual. What we need in this nation, we need God. We need God moving. We need a people, when they speak, God's listening. There used to be a commercial about, what was the investment company? E.F. Hutton. E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. And there used to be a commercial on TV, it was always like that. They'd have E.F. Hutton, they would have a person saying something, and everybody would turn to hear what they say. And, you know, they do it. And I always thought that'd be good. I said, if you went to the church world today, how would it be? God's talking and they're all looking over the other way out the window. They're just it's like, why don't you fix that out there, God? You take care of that out there. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen.
Look in your heart. Your heart's a powerful place. When you know in your heart what you believe and don't doubt. Now don't do this. Don't get yourself over believing the wrong things. Because you can't. You can make sometimes things unchangeable for yourself. You don't want to go there. Sit yourself. Find out what you really believe. Take the time. Take the time to know what's really going on inside yourself. See, that was one of the big things I learned in patience-wise in doing that. That doesn't mean you're going to have to wait a long time. It depends how much time you spent. I spent a lot of time as a young Christian learning to be led by the Spirit of God. I spent a lot of time, put a lot of effort into that. I spent a time to know how to listen out of the inward man, learn how to hear. And then continue doing that, continuing, because you learn over time. It's like there's a lot of things I pick up now much quicker than I used to pick up over time. But I'm amazed, I mean, how well I did even as a young Christian back there because of just taking the time to try to do it, to take the time to learn to listen. Many times I found this out. The Holy Spirit was giving me direction in the inside. I knew what was being said, but it didn't dawn on me that this is God leading this direction because I was unfamiliar with it. And then I'd found out after time in the scripture, well, that was the Holy Ghost leading me into this. This is the Holy Spirit was breaking me. I was picking it up. I just didn't know enough about the Word to know about certain things, but He's in there talking. How many times have you ever heard say things happen in your life? I had a sense that was gonna. Well, here the whole time sense was going on inside. What did we do about it? Nothing. I had a sense. What did you do about that sense? Nothing. I just kept on down the road. Let the accident happen. What the heck? You know? It's out of sense. I want to tell you what. I've seen people's train wrecked lives coming down the road 10, 15 years ago. I've watched. Can't run the rails they're running on without having a wreck. It's going to wreck. You watch it. See, you don't have to be a prophet to see that. You can just know that. You spiritually, you know things. Hey, I know things I wrecked on already. You ain't going down the road. You're going to wreck on that thing. I didn't wait 10, 15 years. You get that train slowed down, get them tracks fixed before you get down there, man. But people wonder why. Well, I come down here in life. Why did this happen? You've been planning on this train wreck for 10 years. You know, what on earth would you think? You ain't been paying no attention to God in the last 10 years, playing a little religious junk now and then, but it's coming down the road. And you're going to need help, and it ain't going to work. You're going to try to do it. See, that's why I do what you now. Start. And the little things. Little things lead to big things. Hallelujah. Take the time to listen on the inside. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Glory to God. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Well, what do you lack wisdom on? What is it that you actually lack wisdom? God has made His statement. If you lack wisdom in anything, He said He would give it to you. In spite of whether you missed it or whatever, His intent, His whole intent is to give you the wisdom that you want. See, so He wants to, it's His desire to. It's not, see, James didn't say, well, you know, sometimes He wants you to know and sometimes He don't. No, He said, no, if you lack the wisdom, do you have an area of your life that you're lacking wisdom? Maybe you're standing in, you're doing as much as you know. You said things. Sometimes I've gone long and I've seen this. I think, you know, I've been standing over here on this thing. Nothing's been changing. Nothing's been changing. I must need to know something. What do I need to know? What is it? See, I've learned over the years to stop and say, okay, Lord, there's something inside. There's something not hooked here, you know. Something's not hooked up. You know, I've watched people in SF say they're standing in the faith and they haven't even gotten one. In fact, nothing's gotten any help in their life. They're saying they're standing in faith 5 or 6 years and it's only gotten worse and not gotten better. And they consistently tell me they're standing in faith. They're not. They're not stopping saying there's something I don't know about this thing. Because this is one thing as I learned. Faith. Because I can tell this, see, they have no confidence anymore. See, they keep saying these words, and those words have just been words now. There's no faith. They just keep saying, well, I'm trusting the Lord, and keep saying these things, and it keeps going. And you see, this thing ain't going to work. It's not going to work. There's something that I don't know. I found out about this of faith. I know when faith is at the spot it's supposed to be, there's always confidence.
Amen.
There's a confidence. And I'm never long-faced all the time because I have this problem. So you can't do that. Faith won't. That faith takes you to the place of rest.
Amen.
If you're facing a challenge, you need rest. How long have you been facing a challenge? You need rest. If you're not getting any rest, you're not hooked on the inside because the inside, there's a place of, you come to the place of, oh my God, I needed this. Have you ever just got worn on a problem? Have you ever done that in life? Just got worn? I've done that. You just get worn on a problem. And I stop and say, you know, I ain't fighting this thing. I'm doing it. Sometimes I find out I know exactly what to do, but I ain't been doing it. I know exactly what to do, but it ain't been doing it. But I realize I can't keep going like this because this thing's going to wear me. And the more it wears me, the more devil has opportunity to me. The more other things has opportunity to me. So you got to come and say, no, I got to come to a place of rest. People say, how do I fix this? Well, you don't. God has to fix it.
Amen.
You believe He'll take care of it and then let Him take care of it. If you're supposed, you can't go trying to fix the problem after you told Him it was His. I got the answer. He's going to take care of it, and I'll go try to fix it. I know. I'm the only guy that ever did this kind of stuff. I've tried to fix them at times there, you know. God, stand back and watch it. I'll part the Red Sea. Just give me a staff. You know, I tell you. After a while, I'm standing in the water up to my neck. And I said, help me, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You need wisdom? Take it or whatever you need wisdom on. Now, I want you to stop, though, and do this. Think about this. Not just here today. Before you make a decision of what you're going to say to God, the wisdom you need, think about what wisdom you really do need. You know, sometimes, and this just come up, sometimes you just need the wisdom of, God, I'm going to cast the care of this thing over on you. I'm not going to worry about it anymore. Sometimes that's the wisdom you need. Oh, Lord, I've had to use that one a number of times. Sometimes I've cast things many times. I keep going up and getting them back. And I say, no, don't do that. Lord, I got it this time. I'm casting this over on you. I'm not going to take that thing again. Oh, learn to get over yourself. He's good. No, but he's good. He's good. You know what, though? I've never been in a situation like that. He quit on me. He's without reproach. He's without reproach. He don't say, you idiot. Like, he wouldn't have known I was going to do it. He's God. He knew he was going to have to work with me on this thing. He knew it. He knows with you. But you know, if you don't start casting the care over on him, say, well, what if I miss it? Well, if you don't cast the care over on him, you don't have to worry. You'll never miss it. You'll just keep the problem for the rest of your life. It's that simple. It's like, no, cast it over on him. The wisdom. Ask him for wisdom. Lord, I want the wisdom to be able to cast this over and keep it. You having it, and I'm not taking it back. Give me the wisdom. Show me what to do.
Amen.
Show me what I need to do. You know, it always isn't everybody gets the same answer. Mm-hmm. Everybody has, just because our own views and things, and maybe certain things as individuals, as we do certain things about our character and our beliefs. People sometimes need different. That's why it's wisdom sometimes that one person needs on the same situation is not the same as another one. I know from ministering to people, sometimes two people wouldn't have the exact same problem, but their answer is different. Because they're two separate people, and there's different things in the operation that they need to know. And I just said, sit down. I said, whatever thing, you know, don't sit and take to God, I got these 10 different things. I'm going to need wisdom. Take one at a time. And take a hold of them. You're not going to fix all your problems at once. You're not going to fix everything at one time. Be nice if you could. But we don't. And I've learned this, you know, don't bite off more than you can chew on this thing. God, give me wisdom about this situation. You might find out he gives you wisdom about one situation. It might help two others. However it is. But he said he'd give it to you. He will.
Amen.
He will. He said he will. Get that into yourself and get yourself settled before you ask for the wisdom. Say, he said he will give me, then it will come to me. Amen. That the day that I say that, I pray that and say, Lord, give me the wisdom for such and such. That day I take my hand off that thing and say, okay, Lord, you will do this. Wisdom will come to me. Now, you don't always know. Sometimes wisdom will come up to me. Sometimes in scriptures. Many times the Holy Ghost talks to me in scriptures. Scriptures will come to me. That's lots of times what it is. The Holy Spirit may say a word and all of a sudden three or four scriptures pop up. And I got it. Yeah, I see that. I go over and get the Bible out, look at them scriptures and say, yeah, that's what I needed. That's it. Sometimes I'll just hear a message preach and it'll do, you know. Mm-hmm. I need wisdom on things. I tell the ones just like Abaz and Rhema, you know. Keith Moore answered a number of times questions for me. I'd pray and ask God for answers to certain things, want to know what about certain things. And I'd go to class and Keith would be teaching on his subject, especially his Holy Spirit class. He did it a couple of times. He stopped right in the middle of the class. Said, there's something in the Holy Ghost and I got to sense somebody needs to know. And he'd go off and say something. I said, my God, that was for me. Hallelujah. Well, you know, they did that supernatural, but it's not always. Sometimes I just hear a message or some preacher. I'm sitting down reading something. Let me tell you how wild God is. Years ago, one of the original Star Wars movies. We went as a family to one of these movies, one of the Star Wars movies. We went to a family. I'm sitting there and the movie starts. And there was a thing set on the screen. I can't even remember what was said. A certain word was said, and when it did, it just triggered my thought to a thing. And I sat there for about 20 minutes, the Holy Ghost talking to me in that movie. I missed about a 20-minute section. The Holy Ghost just started, that thing keyed off on me, and I saw something. And when I saw that, the Holy Ghost started talking. And I sat there for 20 minutes, Him talking to me. So you don't know how God's going to work. Mm-hmm. See, I you know what? I wasn't in my closet fasting, and nothing took place. Mm-hmm. See, we get in our minds where God can move. You know, my God. See, most religious people, you told them God spoke to you in a movie, well, you know you're going to hell. You're a liar. That was a devil. God can't talk in movies. But He talked to me. I just blew my mind. And I remember after we left, I told Wanda after, I said, you know, we were sitting there watching that movie. I said, God started talking to me. I said, it just went on and on and on and on. I said, wow. Wonderful revelation. Started talking to me about things. It was absolutely great sitting there. Star Wars, my best ticket ever bought. But you know what? That's the way He is. He gives you wisdom. You need wisdom. See, I believe you operate over in this area. He'll eventually start opening up things without you asking a thing for it. He'll start opening up to it. Because you're a person who asks. You're a person that comes along. See, do it. Get over yourself. He'll show me. See, don't get over a thing and say, well, I don't know what to do. I never say that. I always stop and say, praise God. God's given me the wisdom. I believe I have it. I believe I have it. It's my job. My job is to believe I got it. Mm-hmm. I believe I receive when I ask. That's my job. Amen. And I stay with my job till it shows up. That's all you got to do. Hallelujah. You don't have to bring it to pass. You don't have to make it happen. You just have to believe that He gave it to you. And don't say, well, you know, God don't seem to be talking to me. Well, say, well, hey, your faith's working good. He ain't. You just told Him he ain't talking to you. How's it working? Glory to God. Father, I just want to thank You. Hallelujah. You love us so much. You're so absolutely phenomenal with us. Hallelujah. Lord God, I think, Lord, we know so little sometimes, and we think we know so much. But Lord God, the little You showed us is phenomenal. It is absolutely incredible. And Father, how far You want to go with Your people, Your love for Your people. Hallelujah. Father, from a natural perspective, it much seems like, you know, that rightfully as a God, You could have given up on us. But You don't. You just keep moving along. As we go, Father God, Your love for Your children. And I want to just thank You for that. Lord, it is just, it is so incredible. Lord, it's mind-blowing to think about Your love. Hallelujah. Lord, just like James wrote, if we lack wisdom, You give it liberally. If we ask for it, You give it liberally. And I want to thank You. You're giving it today liberally to each one. Lord, as they go along, Lord, and they ask, Lord God, You liberally give Your wisdom to them on whatever it may be, Lord God. Sometimes, Lord God, we just need some natural answers to things in life. But sometimes, Lord God, there's spiritual questions. There's questions we need to take a deeper walk, a deeper place, Lord, in understanding on things. And You'll give us wisdom, Lord God, in those areas. Hallelujah. Lord, so we can grow. And I just want to thank You. We can have confidence today. Lord God, Lord, we're here together. Father, Your word is working in us. The good work You started, You are bringing it to completion. You are. Hallelujah. So I thank You. Lord, I thank You there's answers coming, Lord God, to ones here. Lord, especially. Lord, I just get a sense there's ones here who need rest. They haven't been in the place of rest that they need. And Lord God, that's the place You desire to bring them to, is that place of rest. Hallelujah. Lord God, that the weight of the situation is not on them. Hallelujah. It's not up to them. Lord God, I pray that You open their eyes that they see, Lord God, that Your tender mercies and love for them, Lord God. Hallelujah. That Lord God, You're greater than the situation. You're greater than all that is going on around them and all that's happening to them. Hallelujah. Lord God, Your hand toward them, You haven't drawn back at all. That Your hand reaches out in power toward them today in the name of Jesus. Father, that they can have confidence in You. Hallelujah. Oh, thank You, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I'm not sure. You know, you don't sometimes know who things are for, but it just keeps coming up in me. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. Hallelujah. Maybe it's for more than one. Don't worry. Don't worry. It's okay. Don't worry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not as you seem. I said, come, it's not as you seem. Seem it is. It isn't. Hallelujah. It's not as big as you think it is. Hallelujah. It's not as big. Hallelujah, because He's bigger. He's bigger. Hallelujah. And the things that trouble you are the things also that He sees, that He desires to change for you. Hallelujah. Because of His love for you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Take that place of rest. Take that place of rest. Come out of the place of works. Come out of the place of trying to think of how to do or what to do. Hallelujah. And let God's grace work in you and through you. Hallelujah. To first bring rest to you. Oh, when rest comes to you, things will begin to change. Things will begin to change in turn. Hallelujah. So rejoice and be glad. Hallelujah. For I'm working for you, says the Lord. I'm working for you. I see you. I understand the things that you don't even understand or know. Hallelujah. But I understand, and my great desire as a loving father is to take care of those things for you, and I will, because I said I will. Hallelujah. Come to me, all ye that are labored and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Learn of me. Hallelujah. The yoke of the Lord is a light yoke. It's an easy yoke. Hallelujah. Cast off that heaviness that's been on you. Cast it off. That has not been from God. That heaviness and that weight that's been upon you, that has not been from God. Hallelujah. Take upon you His yoke. Hallelujah. Oh, did you notice He said it's His yoke? He didn't say it was yours. He said His yoke. It's the one that's designed for Him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And that yoke will put you over. That yoke will give you success in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you sure love your people. You sure do love them. Hallelujah. Oh, my, my, my. Hallelujah. I'm just so glad that you're for us. You're not against us. You never are. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God. You're continually showing your love and mercy. And as we go out here today, Lord God, this kindness and mercy, it is following us. Hallelujah. We're not trying to get it. It's following us. Hallelujah. All the days of our life. Hallelujah. The grace and mercy of God, hallelujah, are partnered with us in the name of Jesus, walking along, hallelujah, in Jesus' name, amen.